We want to live as God has ordained, and we want to serve him with all our strength. And that's what we were created for. And that's the only way that we can get fulfillment. If we don't pursue the ways of God, there will always be that vacuum inside us. And we'll try and fill it with things of this world. As we open this text together today, I hope you'll all agree it's a marvellous encouragement to us as we live the Christian life. So would you pray with me as we come to God's word? Father in heaven, we marvel at the power of your word to soften our hearts and to transform us. There is no limit to what your word can achieve. And as we come to it this morning, would you please weave it into our very fabric, our very essence? Would you open our eyes and hearts to see your glory and the glory of your word? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So the text we'll be concentrating on is 2 Timothy verses 4, 6 to 8. So you can either read that on the screen behind me, or if you have a Bible, just keep it open at that passage. And today I want to draw out three main aspects from that text, and the first is my life for you. The very first thing that we're confronted with in this text is Paul telling us he's been poured out like a drink offering. Have a look at verse 6 with me. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Poured out. Now, I don't think I've ever been poured out. I think I'd probably remember that if I had. So what on earth is Paul talking about when he says poured out? Well, he's borrowing the image from the Old Testament, where some offerings to God weren't grain and they weren't money, but they were drink. During the offering ceremony, the priest would offer the drink to God, and by doing so, he was actually saying, please take this offering from us and bless it. So Paul is saying that his life is a gift to God, that he's serving God with all that he is, and that all that he does is directed at being a sacrifice to God. But what does a sacrifice look like? Not long after I left school, a mate of mine was working in a council pit with his father when a tree fell in the pit. And as the tree was coming down, his father pushed him out of the way and took the full brunt of the tree. About 15 minutes later, his father died in his son's arms. He sacrificed himself for his son. His whole life was a sacrifice for his son. And that was the type of man that he was. His life was dedicated to his son, as was his death. And that's what Paul's saying. Dedicate your life to God with every waking moment. Dedicate your death to God. Then in verse 6, Paul says, the time has come for my departure. He's telling us his time to die is approaching. He's in prison in Rome at this time, and he's facing trial, and he knows what the verdict's going to be, death. And this makes sense of verse 7 when Paul tells us, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And this brings me to our second point, the nitty-gritty of the Christian walk. Paul's telling us that as he comes to the end of his life, that he has faithfully walked the Christian life, walked the Christian walk, and Christian ministry. And he describes both of these as a fight, a race, and the faith. I have a mate who often comes to me and says, you'll probably find this a little bit strange, but I find the Christian walk a bit of a struggle. And he says it to me like he's the only one that finds it a struggle. Everyone else thinks it's just a walk in the park. And I think the perfect response to him would be to say, look at how Paul describes the Christian walk. Paul says, I've fought the good fight. And when he says that, he's saying, it's been one heck of a fight, but I've been able to do it. But he's not bearing bad news. He's not saying, I've struggled my whole life, and now that I'm going to die, I've lost. I hope you can see he's saying the exact opposite. Now, if you're a Christian and you're finding the Christian walk a bit of a doddle, then I think you're in for a very rude shock. Paul tells us it's a fight to stay a Christian. It's hard to obey God year after year. When you're first converted, it's easy because you're all enthusiastic. And when you're surrounded by good Christians, it's easy because they keep your enthusiasm going. But what about when they're not around? It's not quite so easy, is it? And there'll come a time when you have to forgive someone, and that's not easy. There'll come a time when you have to ask someone for forgiveness because you've hurt them, and you won't find that easy. There'll come a time when you have to keep on praying to God when it appears he's not listening and he's not answering your prayer. It's easy to pray for something once. The real test is when you pray for it the 500th time. And I'll let you in on a little secret. I find it hard to live as a Christian. I find it hard to pray. I find it hard to love others. I find it hard to forgive people. And I think if we're honest, we're all in the same boat. It's incredibly hard to live the Christian life. But we should take enormous encouragement and comfort from Paul because he says it was a huge struggle, but I kept on struggling. He tells us we can persevere, that we can do it. But please don't think Paul's saying he's wonderful. If you look elsewhere in the Bible, he describes himself as the worst of sinners. He also tells us that of his struggles to be good, but he can't do it. So he's certainly not saying, hey, look at me, I'm fantastic. So how does Paul fight the good fight? He fights it by loving other people. He says to the Corinthians, open your hearts, for we have opened our hearts to you. Part of the good fight for Paul is loving other people. And that takes hard work. I mean, we've just got so many people in our lives that are so unlovable. It takes patience and it takes real concentration. You see, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he was in prison in Rome. In chapter 1, verse 8, he invites Timothy to join him in suffering for the gospel. Paul overcame the obstacles to the gospel. But once again, please don't get the impression that Paul's the hero of this story. Christ is the hero of this story. Paul can't boast in any way because he knows and we know we can't do anything in our own strength. It's only in Christ's strength. Our third and final point is claiming the crown of righteousness. In verse 7, Paul's looking back at his life as he sees it. In verse 8, he's looking to the future. He's looking beyond death. And what does he see beyond death? Have a look at verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. and not only to me, but to all, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul has no doubt whatsoever about his future beyond the grave. He's saying, I've won the race, I've won it, and now I'm going to collect my prize, my victor's crown. And that's the gift given by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, despite the fact that Paul is the worst of sinners, will give him that crown of righteousness. It's not something Paul's earned. It's not something we can earn. It's a free gift. But here's the great encouragement. Paul tells us it's not just he who'll receive it. It's all of us who long for the return of Jesus. Paul tells us we need to be people who long for his return. Let me ask you this. If you knew Jesus was going to return at 7 o'clock today, 7 p.m. today, what would your response be? Would it be, that's a bit inconvenient, I was going to go to the movies? Or would you say, that's fantastic, I can't wait? Are you longing for the return of Christ, or is it just going to be an interruption, an inconvenience? Do you want to be able to look back on your life in the same terms that Paul does? When you die, what do you want people to remember about you? What do you want them to say? One of the things that I really enjoy is to wander through graveyards. I like to look at the graves because they make me feel so young and alive. And I like to read the headstones. And there's some fantastic inscriptions. And I saw this really good one in Country New South Wales that read, peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away. As I read some of the inscriptions, it made me think of what I'd like to have on my headstone. Maybe, I told you I was sick, but that's been taken. But I think it's helpful for us to think about how we'd like people to describe us when we're gone. How we'd like them to describe our lives. Would we like them to say, he never forgave anyone. She always held a grudge. That's not what I want on my gravestone. So if you're taking notes, you might want to jot this one down. Because what I want is, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. And I think that's how we'd all like to be described. Shall we close together? There's both a challenge and an encouragement in our text. Paul throws down the gauntlet for us and challenges us in the words of verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. God has provided the example through Paul, who found his strength in Christ. Now it's up to us to follow that example. But it's not just a challenge, it's a great encouragement. One of the things I've witnessed in my time at Bible college is the number of students who give up the race, give up the struggle, give up their faith. And sometimes I think to myself, maybe I'm next. But whenever I think that, and whenever we think that, we need to concentrate not on the negative stuff, but on the encouragement that we get from this passage. God has provided us with a strong, healthy, and encouraging example of how to live the Christian life. Now, if every Christian you know gives up the struggle, gives up the faith, you still don't have an excuse, do you? Because you've got this example to follow. Be determined to fight the good fight of faith to the very end. Make sure that you finish the race that God has put before you. Starting the race is dead easy. Continuing and finishing, there's the challenge. But we have the wonderful example of Paul to guide us. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your servant Paul and his wonderful example of living the Christian life. We acknowledge with Paul that we find our strength in Christ and the example of his life on earth. As we leave here today, would you please instill in us a passion to do as Paul did, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, and to keep the faith until that glorious day when we're reunited with Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.